It's time to begin another program edition here on the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. My name is Adrian Wesley Jr., and as your host for the More Abundant Life, I want to wish you a warm welcome to our program today, and I do hope that you will stay with us for the duration. If you are new to our program, you will be interested to know that the More Abundant Life radio broadcast features the ministry of Pastor Wintley Phipps of the Seabrook Church in the Washington, D.C. area. Today's message is going to be part two of a title that was started in a previous broadcast. The title is Soldiers in Your Soul, and we're going to hear part two of that message. Before we get into the message, however, we're going to have some music. I hope that you enjoy the music here on The More Abundant Life. We try to bring you the best in music, and today is no exception. We're going to go back into the archives a little bit and pull out a song that Pastor Phipps recorded many, many years ago entitled My Child.
Loves me so. I couldn't take the pain of all my guilt and all my shame. And now I'll see that day. If alone
That's music by Wintley Phipps here on the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. The song is entitled My Child from the Neo Gospel Experience CD. The title of our message today, Soldiers in Your Soul, Part 2. We join the message, which is already in progress.
And to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. There are people who know that God is doing a work who will come along just to hinder it, just to thwart it, to foil it, to stop it. In our text this morning from Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 9, here is what I came to preach to you about today. Yes. Nevertheless, said Nehemiah, I like that. Nevertheless, it doesn't matter what they're about and doesn't matter what they're trying to do. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and we set a watch against them day and night because of them. Now, brothers and sisters, as you seek to build up the walls of blessing and favor in your own life, as you seek to work hard to live out the measure of prosperity and blessings God has ordained for your life, I just want to live out what God has ordained for my life. Doesn't matter to me what it is, where it is, how it is. I'll be fine as long as I know I'm where God wants me to be. You must never forget that you've got an enemy who wants to discourage you, call you down from what the Lord is building in your life, and you got to face the fact that the greatest enemy you face is that devil and his agents who want to discourage you from building out the destiny God has prepared for you. And that's why one of my favorite texts is Exodus 23:22. It says, but if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I, the Lord, will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. Now, remember, Satan is not only anti-God, he is anti-everything God has blessed.
Amen. Amen.
And so if God has blessed you with a house, he's anti whatever God has blessed you with. He is anti everything that's good for you. Whatever will tear you down, whatever will shame you, whatever will embarrass you, he's cheering for that. The Lord in his word calls this enemy a roaring lion. Now, I've been to Africa. I've seen lions in Africa behind cages and on safaris. And I can tell you personally that a lion roars when he's trying to threaten or intimidate. Now, a lion's roar is grand and terrifying. It looks good on the big screen. But the roar is not what you have to fear from a lion. What's really frightening about lions is the way they hunt, the way they prowl, the way they seek those who they would devour. Lions will stalk you patiently for days. And what is more dangerous than their roar is their ability to track you down in quietness and in stealth. It's the way lions hunt that is so deadly. And we have enemies who set traps and snares for our feet. They sit around, they strategize how they're going to mess us up, how they're going to make us look bad. Servant of the Lord tells us the builders of the wall were beset by active opposition. She tells us that Nehemiah recognized the dangers. Now, how did Nehemiah fight his enemies? He fought them, Nehemiah 4:9. Nevertheless, we made our what? We made our what? Prayer. Nehemiah said, I fought them with prayer, and we did what? We set a watch against them day and night. We made our prayer unto our God, and we set a watch against them day and night. Nehemiah had found the source of victory over the devil. You know, brothers and sisters, the Bible gives us all kinds of guidance on how to defend against the wiles of the wicked one. But the defense and the counsel most consistently given is in Scripture. It is given to us by God. And it is that God has given us two soldiers in our soul. One's name is watchfulness. The other's name is prayerfulness. God has placed those two powerful soldiers in your soul. But it's up to us to make sure that they're on duty at all times. Amen. That's why in Mark 14:30 it says, "Watch and pray, lest ye enter not into temptation." Listen to what I'm saying today. Nehemiah on the wall said, "We prayed and set a watch." Here God is saying, some people, even after you pray for them, you got to watch them. Yeah. Isn't that the truth? Yeah. After you pray for some people, you still got to watch them. The Lord has put in my heart to remind you today that he's given you two soldiers in your soul to protect you from the lions in your life. And I believe that when you get to heaven, when you see the light that illuminates the holy city, you will give some of the thanks for making it to the kingdom to those two soldiers in your soul, watchfulness and prayerfulness. You see, in ancient days, the only way to protect a city was to build walls around it. But in the walls, you had to have doors, you had to have gates, and they had to stay open for commerce and egress. And so watchmen had to stand on the walls and help protect the city from surprise attack. As a matter of fact, the best way to conquer a city in ancient times was to catch the watchmen when they weren't vigilant. The watchman had to patrol the walls. The watchman was constantly scanning the horizon for signs of danger. And in this world we live in, you have to always scan the horizon that is before you for signs of anything that threatens your soul's salvation. You've got a sergeant called watchfulness.
All right.
And he's got to keep himself in a state of constant vigil, always watching for the enemy. And ultimately, you're the one responsible to make sure that that soldier is watching.
Amen.
Your soul salvation may depend upon how well this first soldier does his work. This soldier has a very important job to do. Why? Because the enemy that we face is a master of disguise.
That's right.
They tell me that one of the liabilities of becoming famous is the inability to go very many places without being stopped and recognized. Now, I understand a little bit about that. You see, I've been told that I have a striking resemblance to Avery Brooks. And almost every day of my life, people ask me if I'm Avery Brooks. Hawk. They ask me if I'm Captain Sisko on Deep Space Nine. And I walk through airports and I hear people shout out, "Mr. Brooks." And I just smile and wave. I don't have time to explain anything. I don't want to give this poor man a bad reputation. So I just smile and wave. The other day, I was checking in some luggage at the Baltimore airport, and the guy said, "Oh, man, it's good to see you." And I know right away, And he said, "What you doing with all this luggage? Why don't you just beam it up?" But they tell me, when you don't want to be recognized, you learn to travel incognito, in disguise. You know, those infamous dark glasses become standard wear when you, quote unquote, become somebody important. Sometimes people who aren't somebody wear those glasses, hoping that others might think that maybe they're somebody too. And I confess, when I was much younger, searching for a sense of meaning and significance in my life, I left Trinidad in 1965. I went back for my first visit in 1968. I went back with my dark glasses. And I was riding the bus going to the western part of the island, and I noticed a fellow at the front of the bus kept looking back and looking at me and shaking his head and smiling, and like he read the situation, and every few moments he'd get up, look in front of all the people and smile and shake his head. And when it got time, and I had my dark glasses, you know, and when it got time to get off the bus, he stood up in front of all the people on the bus. He said, "Hey, boy, what happened with them glasses? You're a welder?" I took those glasses off. I never wore them again. I gave up trying to travel in disguise, to travel incognito. You see, the reason that that soldier that God has placed in your soul, he's got to watch for the enemy 24/7. Because this enemy of ours always travels incognito. He is always in disguise. Listen carefully. Never in all of Scripture has he approached men with his full demonic regalia. Not once are you going to find in Scripture that the devil has shown up with his own face. Never has he revealed himself the way he looks now, because he is no longer a creature of beauty. Sin has marred and disfigured his countenance, because sin will steal your joy. It will steal your beauty. Satan is now so hideous, so grotesque, that he can never approach you with his full face, or you would be alarmed and repulsed right away. So as a result, he has made himself a master of disguise. To Eve in the Garden of Eden, he disguised himself as a beautiful serpent gifted with the power of human speech. He's a master of disguise. To Jesus in the wilderness, he appeared as a friend. Someone here to help you. An angel of light to us. Today in this modern world, he disguises himself as a potential soulmate who wants to demonstrate his sincerity through physical intimacy. He disguises himself as that lover you met over the internet. He disguises himself is that admirer on your job who already has a wife. You know, there's some truth to that song titled Devil with a Blue Dress On. But he comes in blue jeans too. He can come in the guise of a special friend who pretends to have your best interest at heart and is caressing you on the job. He can wear Calvin Klein's and Versace. He can come smelling like perfume and sweet aroma that sweeps you off your feet. He can come in the disguise of humility. He can come with awkward, thin disguises. But you've got to recognize that God has blessed you with a soldier in your soul. And his very job is to watch for the enemy's disguises. Sometimes he comes under the mask of approval or the mask of piety and devotion. Don't be fooled by everybody who has a membership card in the church. Because there are people who know how to work like the devil for the Lord. Sometimes he'll disguise. He's got a disguise for everybody. If you've got a problem with liquor, he's got a disguise for you. If you got a short fuse, if you got a bad temper, he's got a disguise for you. Young people, he's got special disguises for you. He has a disguise for the dishonest. He has a disguise for the discouraged. He has a disguise for the committed. He has a disguise for the married people. But Jesus can strip away all his disguises. And to help you do that, he gave you a soldier, a sentinel, a sentry, a guard called watchfulness. So every morning you get up, you ought to say, devil, I'm watching you. And I'm watching for you. You better say that. He'll come, young people, disguised as somebody who you can really have a lot of fun with. And while you're having fun, he's prowling, setting you up. Because as far as he's concerned, you're fair game until you get to heaven. Until you are transported, lifted up from the earth, the devil considers you fair game. And that's why some people, when they get older, they got to be more watchful, more vigilant, because it ain't over till it's over. And the devil's got his eye on you right up till they lower your coffin in the grave. In the wilderness, Satan presented himself to our Lord as an angel of light, and I told you sometimes he'll come disguised as your best friend. Yes. All of us every day are being tempted, but if these two soldiers, watchfulness and prayerfulness, if they stay on duty 24/7, you can resist the attacks of the evil one. I've come today to ask you, where are the soldiers in your soul? A soldier called prayerfulness. Prayer fortifies the soul. Some try to use their prayers, and it's so interesting to see people pray sometimes. They try to use their prayers to explain doctrine. You know, Father, you are the existential beginning of our unknown reality. And God doesn't need any doctrine explained to him. Pray about what you need. Pray about what your heart needs. Pray prayers that have purpose and are meaningful and that are specific. Someone said prayer is like going to a bank with a check to be cashed. You stand a better chance of getting what you want if you fill out the check.
Amen.
Say, Lord, this is what I need. Amen. Fill it out. And if you claim a promise, trust God will give you the blessing. You know, I have a crumpled piece of paper somewhere in my house that owns a sacred place. It says simply this: prayer is the answer to every problem in life.
Amen.
Puts you in tune with divine wisdom.
Sometimes
we don't pray because from our viewpoint, it looks hopeless. But I want you to know nothing is impossible with God.
Amen.
Nothing is so entangled that it cannot be remedied.
Right.
No human relationship so strained that God cannot bring about reconciliation.
Yes.
No habit so deep rooted that it cannot be overcome. No one is so weak that it cannot be made strong.
Yes.
No mind is so dull that it cannot be made brilliant.
Yes.
Now, brothers and sisters, Nehemiah said, I was able to build a wall, but I had two sentinels: watchfulness and prayerfulness.
Mm-hmm.
Praise his holy name.
Praise.
I came by to tell you, you've got two soldiers in your soul. Are you in touch with them? Are you in tune with them? When you get up in the morning, do you say hello to Sergeant Watchfulness?
All right.
Do you welcome Sergeant Prayerfulness?
Mm.
When you get ready to go to sleep at night, do you ask Sergeant Watchfulness to keep watch over you? Now, I don't know what you may be dealing with today, but this word may have come as an answer to why you're going through what you're going through, because you haven't been watchful and prayerful. The enemy has launched his surprise attack and is wreaking havoc in your life, and you have to finally admit, God, I didn't use the two soldiers you put in my soul. I haven't been watching, and I haven't been praying. But I want to change that today, because I heard Jesus say through his word, watch and pray.
That brings us to the end of the message for today. I do hope that you not only enjoyed the message, but understood it. The topic, Soldiers in Your Soul, Part 2, may be obtained by calling the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. The number again, 301-577-6342. And you will want to ask for program number 214. That's program number 214. And you will be able to get a copy of today's message, Soldiers in Your Soul, Part 2. Here at The More Abundant Life, we always appreciate your support, your prayers, your comments, and your financial contributions. If you would like to correspond with The More Abundant Life, please write to us at P.O. Box 1078, Columbia, Maryland. The zip is 21045. That's P.O. Box 1078 in Columbia, Maryland, 21045. My name is Adrian Westney Jr., and as your host for The More Abundant Life, I always like to wish you God's richest blessings for the week. I hope that you will join us again for another program, but until then, please remember the words that are written in the book of John, chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, "I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life."
Give what's in your heart.